Lynn James, Mrs. Mummy Penny Talks on SG1 Radio.
Hi, it's Lynn James. I'm back again in Mrs. Mummy Penny Talks on SG1 Radio. Thanks for listening. I am happy to be back. Where are we at? Episode 7. I'm a bit obsessed with counting the numbers.
Okay.
I can't wait till I reach like episode 100. I'm very fanatical about numbers. I am in the studio with Mr. Ray.
Hi, how you doing, everybody?
He is my buddy in the studio today. So yeah, why am I obsessed with numbers?
Tell us why you're obsessed with numbers. We want to know.
Well, I've always been really good at maths. Mm-hmm. I was really good at maths at school.
Yeah.
Went and did a maths degree. Yeah. I was that good at maths. Then I became an accountant because the number obsession continued. And now I write for a living, so go figure. But
great.
I do write about money. So it was my 5th birthday at the weekend.
You're 5 years old. You should not be in the studio. This is not right.
Mrs. Mummy Penny. Oh, you say child abuse. We're going to talk about abuse.
Yeah, I know. That's another theme.
Another theme for the show. Mrs. Mummy Penny turned 5.
Right, okay.
So, how cool.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Mummy Penny.
I've been going for 5 years and I'm still going. How many businesses are still going after 5 years?
Not too many.
I would say maybe 5% of businesses are going.
Probably.
After
probably.
5 years.
We all want to be in that 5% bracket.
Well, we are.
We are.
So I've been wanting to play this song for weeks and weeks. And it's,
which song's that, by the way?
It's the Calvin Harris Dua Lipa song.
Oh, great.
Which I couldn't find in the library until today.
Go on, hit
so
us
I'm
up with
play
that one.
Kiss.
I like that one.
Take the night, I love real easy. And I know that you still wanna see me.
Calvin Harris and Dua Lipa with One Kiss on SG1 Radio. And I'm Lynn James, Mrs. Mummy Penny.
Hello, hello, hello.
I nearly forgot to put your mic up there.
I don't need to talk, it's your show.
That's fine, that's fine. what have we got going on?
Yeah, what have we got
going on?
For
the show,
because
I didn't introduce the contents, did I? I'm going to talk a little bit about what I've been up to.
Yeah.
Then I've got a wonderful guest.
Okay.
The delightful Maria Nadeva.
Nadeva or Nadeva?
Nadeva.
Nadeva.
Yes, very, very exotic name. We'll have to ask her. It's a it's a Baltic country.
Okay, okay.
One of them.
One of them, okay.
Maria is a professor.
Uh-huh.
And I said to you earlier on what she's a professor of, and I can't remember now. It's a very posh professor. Of like sociology, and here we go, Professor of Science and Innovation Dynamics and Policy.
Ooh,
what does that mean?
I'll wait for Maria to tell us.
Yes. She's a very clever lady. She's also got a amazing website and a debt story you would not believe.
Well, let's get her on.
Let's get her on. And then I'm going to talk all about Christmas, because it is Christmas in July for the next 2 weeks. So I'm off to lots and lots of events with retailers to go and drink champagne and eat Christmas dinner.
Play girl.
Tough life.
Tough life. Somebody's got to do it.
I know. Like, I love my job. And I'd rather Christmas was in July.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah.
What have you got on next anyway?
I'm not going to play a song next.
Oh, right. You're going to speak to Our Lady?
No. I'm going to talk about... Stop trying to lead my radio show.
I'm just asking.
You are. I was going to talk a little bit about the exciting things I've done this week.
Okay, let's hear it.
I was going to talk about my tattoo.
Go on then.
Which you, like, when I said to you, I've had a tattoo.
I think we should video this. We really should video this.
No, because I can't show my tattoo because it's like, it's under my left boob.
Boob?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the top of my ribs.
Okay.
And it is, I've been thinking about this tattoo for 2 years, and I had to find the right person to do it, blah, blah, blah. And then I ended up going to near Kettering, which is miles away. But my friend's boyfriend has set up a tattoo studio. It's called Whiskey and Ink.
Whiskey and Ink.
And
nice name.
Yeah. He designed the tattoo for me from a Google picture,
mm-hmm.
my handwriting and my imagination.
Right.
So it's a red dahlia.
Yeah.
My parents' garden was surrounded with red dahlias.
Okay.
So this time of the year it's absolutely
sentimental
glorious.
Significance it has.
Sentimental significance. And then I've got like a little sort of thing underneath which just says Dylan.
I think you need to post a picture of it, to be honest with
okay.
you, so the listeners can actually go to our...
Well, I'll tell you what, if listeners go to my Instagram page,
yeah.
which is my Instagram page, not SG1 Radio.
Okay, but forget about SG1 Radio.
I can put it on the SG1 Radio Instagram page.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then the whole world can see my tattoo.
Exactly.
But yeah, it quite hurt.
Okay, as they do.
Yeah. It did, and the filling in of the colour.
Well, it's in a sensitive and tender part of your body, so therefore it will.
When it got close to the actual rib bone,
that hurt a lot. That's a very tender part.
But I've had 3 babies, so I can cope with a lot more pain
than
that.
You can cope. I've had none, so I definitely wouldn't have a tattoo.
They did say to me, men really struggle having tattoos done.
I haven't got one. There you go.
I'm not. They also said that it's really difficult to tattoo black skin.
Yeah, and
you
I don't
can only put black ink.
But there is a white ink you can put on.
Really?
Yes, there is. There is. I used to live with a tattoo artist in Holland.
Oh, of course you've got a tattoo story.
I have, but I lived with him, and he had his shop underneath where we lived, basically in
white
a place
ink.
Called Zoetermeer, and you can do white ink for black people. You know, if you're coffee coloured, it's fine; it comes out nicely.
Yeah.
You know,
I've never
if
seen
you're dark skin.
I've
then
never
it's a
seen
bit harder.
White ink.
Yeah, but they do have it. They do have it. I think it's a lot more expensive than the normal.
And when... So the very part, the very final bit of my tattoo was putting in some white ink just to make it pop.
Yeah.
And that literally felt like I was being stabbed with a hot needle.
Okay.
So that... The white is the worst colour. So I would say a white tattoo would really hurt
you.
So
them black guys walking around with white tattoos, grimacing.
Well, I've never seen one.
We sympathise with them.
No, I've never seen one, so I don't think many black guys have had that done.
Okay. anyway, moving on.
We chat. I am going to play Duran Duran, The Reflex. Now, so there was a really interesting night on Saturday night on BBC Four where there was a Duran Duran night.
Okay.
Did you watch any of it?
No, I didn't.
Really, really interesting documentary of their story from like the late 70s up to now.
Oh, I think I've got it on BBC iPlayer.
Yeah,
I could watch it. I did see it.
I would recommend people watch it because they've got an incredible story. Mm. Like, they're still going 40 years later.
I know, new romantics.
And they're still released. Actually, their latest album is actually quite good. It was
Loafers and Pleated Trousers.
Their latest album they just did with Nile Rodgers.
Okay.
They worked with Nile Rodgers on the Rio album from the 80s.
Nile Rodgers was from, not Sister Sledge.
Chic,
that's it.
And he's done like Daft Punk.
He's done a lot. He's a very renowned music producer. He has produced a lot of people.
Yeah, I reckon he's quite rich.
I reckon, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, Duran Duran.
Right, so here we go.
Without further ado, there we go.
was Duran Duran and The Reflex. Lovely, lovely song from the 1980s. Right, time to introduce my first guest. My only guest.
Yeah, only guest today.
My only guest. We have on the phone Maria Nadeva. Maria, hello, how are you?
Hello, Lynn.
Hello. Right. We just had a bit of a technical glitch there, but it's okay. I think we fixed it. Ray had been unplugging things that he shouldn't have been. How are you doing, Maria? How's Manchester? Are you in Manchester?
Yes, Manchester is hot.
It's really hot, isn't it?
Manchester is hot in all possible ways and senses of the word hot.
What, as in there's exciting things going
as
on?
As in sweltering, as in exciting things going on, as in booming creative industry lately.
Ah.
So Manchester is hot.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And there's that big, I messaged you the other day about it, isn't it? There's the big fire that they just keep talking about on the news. The moorlands are on fire.
Yes, we can smell it. We can't feel it, but we can smell it.
I'm worried about
what's
the...
What's moorlands, by the way?
So like all the...
Sorry, I'm Ray, by the way. Sorry to introduce myself.
Hi, Ray.
Hi. Darling.
Ray's the owner of the radio station and producing the show.
No, you're producing the show. I'm just your guest.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. What's happened with the moorlands?
Yeah, what is moorlands?
Well, apparently, it's all because of very rich people going shooting.
Oh.
Because apparently, it's a pit. It's pit.
Peat,
so,
yeah.
So, you know that peat is used for people to burn in fires.
Yes.
Yes, right? Yes.
And what happens is they have to keep the grass very, very well cut, because otherwise rich people can't go shooting birds, right?
exactly.
And somebody,
oh my god,
if you throw a cigarette that is not completely,
it's gonna burn
put out, of course it catches fire immediately, right?
Wow.
And in this
worst,
heat as well,
there were news that the fire people have spotted arsonists.
Yeah,
as well.
I heard this on the news yesterday. People are deliberately setting on fire.
Which kind of is a problem.
Yeah.
It is a big problem. So Manchester smells of smoke.
Yeah.
So it's smoking hot.
That's very
uncomfortable, especially in the city with all the emissions out there as well with cars. It must be uncomfortable.
Yes. Yeah. So Maria, tell us who you are and what you do.
Yes. Introduce yourself.
and tell us where you're from as well, because I forgot what country it was.
I kind of wish you asked me an easy question. Who am I? Who am I? Right? I'll go for the easy thing. I'm Maria Nedeva. I am Professor of Science and Innovation Dynamics and Policy at Manchester Business School.
Love it.
The University of Manchester, and I am Professor of Science Policy at the University of Lund in Sweden.
Lund.
So I have two professorships.
Kan du prata svenska?
Sorry?
Kan du prata svenska?
Yes, no, I can't speak Swedish.
Lite. Okay.
And then it is a fractional appointment, because that's what people do.
So you're not there
like
all the time. I know Lund.
Yeah. Lund is... I love it, but it will be very hard to live there.
Yes,
so,
yes.
It's anyway, remote. So apart from that, because I do find academic life really boring, actually, because once you've got the hang of it, it becomes formulaic, particularly with the latest developments of universities and all the measurements of performance and this kind of crap. Sorry, you can delete this sentence. What happens is that I've been finding ways to amuse myself. So one of the ways I've been amusing myself is I used to run marathons. I used to run 2 marathons a
year. Did you?
Yes, I did.
I did not
know that.
I ran
about 6 marathons, including Loch Ness, which is actually a fell run of 42 kilometers.
You ran around Loch Ness? Yes.
Not around, you can't run around it. 26.4 miles is from the top of the mountain on one side to Inverness, to the stadium
gosh,
in Inverness.
Maria,
so it's only on one side. But it is kind of a nice thing to do. And then I thought, what else can I do? And so in 2011, I started the money principle. yep. which is my website. It's a site where the way I put it, I teach people in financial trouble how to build sustainable wealth.
Yes.
We can talk more about that.
Yeah.
And then I have another site called Enemy of Debt. But this is one that I bought.
Yes.
And I have a writer for it. So, yes. And what else have I been doing? Of course, I write a lot of other stuff than blogging and academic stuff. And
yeah.
I want to write a novel one day, basically.
I have no doubts you will write a novel. But you know what I'm going to do as a lead into that conversation? I'm going to play your first song, which is Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive.
Oh yes, I Will Survive.
I think that's a really good track, and you can talk about your bio after that. I'm just gonna press play.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Oh, now go, walk out the door. Just turn around now, 'cause you're not hurt me with goodbye. You think I crumbled? You think I'd lay down and die? Oh no, not I. I will survive. Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll feel alive. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. And I'll survive. I will survive. Hey.
Still singing and the song just ends. I didn't know that happened in the actual song. I thought it had an ending.
Well, it's a lead out, isn't it? You know,
so. It's a lead out where she's still singing. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Okay.
So Maria, back to the lovely Maria. So you are going to write a biography one day, a book one day.
Yes.
You've already written books, haven't you?
I beg your pardon?
You've already written some books already, haven't you?
Yes, but they're academic books.
Yes, academic books. Yes. So what are you going to write a book about?
I suspect that I will write historical fiction, actually. Thus combining two of my loves, writing and history.
What historical period do you think you'd go to?
Oh, Middle Ages.
Middle Ages.
Middle Ages, because it gives much more space for imagination.
Yeah, I've only just sort of got back into history, because I did it at school, and that like switched me off from history, as school sometimes does. And then I didn't really bother with it in my 20s, didn't bother with it in my 30s, but I love it now. Like, where did we go? We went to, we've got tickets for Buckingham Palace over the summer, and I love the, learning about history and the royal family and stuff.
Is that where you get your inspiration from, darling?
I'm sorry?
Is that what inspired
you?
No, sorry. No, if I do something, yes, of course, I know quite a lot about British history, but we shouldn't forget that the European history is very interesting, and we shouldn't forget that Britain wasn't important until quite late.
No, it's true.
Really?
Yeah, she's very right.
Oh, yes,
very true.
Yes. The Byzantine emperor used to refer to your kings as my very distant cousin, which at the time was a signal of how important politically you are. So basically, I'm originally Bulgarian, so of course, kind of part of the Byzantine and the history on the Balkans
and history there in that part
the eastern
of the
part of Europe is something that I know quite a lot about.
That will
it's
be
close to my soul.
That will be an incredible book. So, it sounds really cool. So I'm going to go into my two questions sort of in between the songs you chose, which it's up to you what order you answer them in, Maria. Do you want to share your biggest money success first or your biggest money mistake?
I would love to share with you my biggest money success.
Yes.
And my biggest money mistakes, and I don't mind in which order.
Okay, go for it then.
Right. So I'm known as the woman who paid £100,000 worth of debt in 3 years. Right. Well, 3 years and 1 week. But who is counting? However, I still don't think that is my biggest money success. I think my biggest success was that I didn't stop. So basically, in 8 years, I've gone from £100,000 worth of debt to about £350,000 worth of new investments.
That is incredible.
That is the success.
Yes.
So,
That's good.
But interestingly, how you've done it, you've gone almost down quite a non-traditional route, haven't you, Maria, where you like to invest in new businesses that you think have some promise.
Yes. I think investing in businesses is the best thing to do, although I have to say that it is quite risky.
Yeah.
But then you have to do the old thing. You have to make sure that you make more than you lose. Always, right?
Yeah.
So I do have quite traditional things. So we have stocks and shares ISIS with Nutmeg, which is kind of fairly traditional and fairly safe, albeit not at the moment. But
yeah.
That's
do you have a pension?
Yes, a very generous one. Yes.
Cool.
But don't forget, my pension comes from working in British Academe for close to 30 years. And British Academe until recently had very favorable pensions. So I've always contributed, but it is not a final contribution pension.
Yeah.
The biggest part of my pension will be final benefit, which is based on your years of service and final salary. But it stopped last year. So now, from now on, it will be final benefit plus. Yes.
Very good. So you should be pretty sorted in older age.
Financially. Yeah.
Financially, yeah.
Yes. I think I already probably am.
Yeah.
But that's another conversation, right?
Yeah, no. You could retire. You are FIRE. You are FIRE. FIRE stands for financially independent, retire early.
Yeah. Quite. Basically, I could stop working any second.
Yeah,
now.
But you don't want to. There's too much stuff to do.
No, I actually am thinking very seriously about leaving British Academe. I was going to tell you that I think that by the end of the year, I wouldn't need to be employed if I don't want to.
Yeah.
And I'm very likely to keep only some of my professorships,
okay,
and not others. But the thing is that I wrote an article, actually. It's on the Money Press about that. I don't see this retirement thing. I don't see the beauty of early retirement. I don't want to be employed if I don't want to.
Yeah.
But kind of ripped socks and dodgy cardigans is not the way to go, right?
Crochet and knitting.
It's so not. No. I will still be dressing like I'm 25, I think, till I'm 85.
Yeah. No, but the important thing is to keep doing things and contributing stuff.
Yes.
To society.
And to keep like talking to people that are like 20, 30, 40 years younger than you to understand what, like, you know, they're going through. Like, I've got some great friends that are in their early 20s, and understanding their financial woes is just as important as, you know, mine at 40 or yours at, how old are you, Ray? Nearly
90.
55.
You're 55, Maria?
I am 55, yes.
And Ray is?
58.
58. You're nearly the same age as Ray. I didn't realise you were 55.
My claim to be the oldest person on this.
You're the youngest person here? No, I'm the second.
I'm the youngest.
Between me and you, Maria.
yeah. So what about your... So that was your money success, which is a pretty astounding success. What about your money mistake?
I spent most of my life actually falling into the oldest thing in the book, which is about mentality.
Yeah.
So for a very long time, I was not at all interested in money.
Right, yeah.
Let's put it this way, Lynn. I teach philosophy of science. So I've always read a lot of philosophy and history, and my intellectual life has been what defines me. And probably that is why and how we got in so much debt, because if you're not interested in what's happening. And then for me, the biggest kind of switch was I wasn't interested in money because I saw it as the thing you buy other things with.
Yeah.
At the moment, you see it as the thing that buys you freedom, self-respect, influence, and the ability to support others to achieve that.
Yeah.
My whole mentality changed. So now I'm unashamedly on a journey to become really rich, not just comfortable.
Yeah.
Right?
So you can do whatever you want in life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Contentment.
But the mistake is not something I did. It is something I believed wrongly.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I wonder whether, you know, I wonder how much of the population is actually in consumer debt. Probably a lot. And how much of that consumer debt is because of that, I have no interest in money.
I just use it for what I need to buy.
And I just want all these material goods because I've seen that Apple advert and I want that latest iPhone because all my mates have got it and I have to have it. And it's an interesting
I think easily probably over 80%. Of the people. I can check and publish about that because I have the statistics. It's in consumer debt. But the interesting thing is that a lot of our fellows, personal finance bloggers and gurus will say, oh, you spend too much.
Yes.
That is not the cause of consumer debt. The cause is that people have consumer mindset, mm-hmm. right? So my cleaner wants to buy a Lexus. Right, so I'm going, wait a minute, I'm driving a Jeep Renegade. Why would you buy a Lexus? You're my cleaner.
Yeah.
Do you have pension? No, I don't have pension. Why do you want Lexus? I may not live to pension, right? And that is the kind of consumer mindset that is very, very problematic.
Yeah, keeping up with the Joneses, bit of a problem.
It's always been a problem from the beginning of time.
Well, I think we'll talk a bit more about mindset after I play the next song,
which is
I know you wanted a particular Eminem song, but I couldn't find it, so I've got Monster featuring Rihanna, so at least it's Eminem, and I hope it hasn't got any swearing in it.
Well, we've got to be very careful, you see, Maria, because we can't play that sort of music.
This show airs like 11 till 12 on a Tuesday. So we can't have a song with swearing in. Anyway, let's play it.
With the monster that's under my bed, get along with the voices.
inside of my head. You're trying to save me. Stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy. Yeah, you think I'm crazy, crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. But wanting my cake and eat it too. But wanting it both ways, fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I flew see. But it was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning a used me. Ironic, cause I think I'm getting so huge I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think. Cause I'm
friends with the mom.
Much of a poet, but I know somebody once told me to seize the moment and don't squander it. Cause you never know when it all could be over tomorrow, so I keep conjuring. Sometimes I wonder where these thoughts spawn from.
Yeah, ponder it, do you want? It's no wonder you're losing your mind the way it wanders.
I think you've been wandering off down yonder and stumbled on to Japan wandering. Cause I need an interventionist to intervene between me and this monster and save me from myself and all this conflict. Cause of everything that I love killing me and I can't conquer it. My OCD's talking me in the head, keep knocking. Nobody's home, I'm sleepwalking. I'm just relaying what the voice in my head saying. Don't shoot the messenger, I'm just
friends with the
walk amongst you a regular civilian. But until then, chums get killed and I'm coming straight at MC's blood gets spilled and I'm taking back to the days that I get on a Dre track. Give every kid who got played that pump the villain and shit to say back to the kids who played them. I ain't here to save the fucking children, but if one kid out of 100 million who are going through a struggle feels it and relates, that's great. It's payback. Russell Wilson falling way back in the trap. Turn nothing into something, still can make that. Straw in the gold jump, I will spin. Rumpelstiltskin in a haystack. Maybe I need a straight jacket, face packs. I am nuts for real, but I'm okay with that. It's nothing, I'm still
friends
with
the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy. I'm friends with the monster.
Eminem featuring Rihanna and Monster, clean version. Hope that was clean.
Unbelievable, brilliant. Wow. Phew.
Yeah. Okay, so Maria, we were just having a chat while the song was playing. I don't know if you overheard us talking about money.
Yes,
mindsets.
I did.
And how many different money mindsets are there? I don't think there's that many. Maybe like 10. But it would be interesting to understand, maybe not even 10, I don't know, I'd need to look into the psychology of it, but the different ways people do approach money, it's just it. I want to write a book about it.
You see, Lynn, I'm very sorry. I cannot answer this question because here, what Ray was saying about being academic kicks in. So to tell you how many types of mindsets there are, I will have to work on a typology.
Yeah. Right?
Because otherwise the variety can be rather large. So to work out a typology, you need to come up with essential dimensions. Which characteristics of a money mindset are significant enough to produce interesting differences that explain other things, right? So typologies are no simple thing, so I wouldn't even go there.
Yeah.
But I overheard something else. Ray was saying that the most successful people financially and most successful in life are the ones who combine understanding, namely the academic kind of side of things, and being streetwise. And I was thinking about the first question you sent me, and I was thinking, how did I get where I am? I got here through education. I have incredibly broad education.
Yes. Yeah.
Through the ability to learn very fast, because people think that professors are professors because they know a lot. No, we're professors because we learn fast. And then the last element to it was I learned to act.
Yes.
So now I learn something and I go and try it.
Yeah.
And I learn from what I've tried.
Yes.
And I don't know whether you call it streetwise, but we
Well, practicality, action. in practical terms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to kind of act. You have to do things and learn from doing as well.
That's right. And that's true. That's very true.
And learning from the mistakes, because no doubt, Maria, well, you and I, all three of us, we've all made tons and tons of mistakes in our life. And
well, that's the only way you learn. And then it's trial and error, isn't it, Maria? You know, you have to...
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Yes, I read a couple who made close to $1 million from their site last year was saying that their philosophy for their online businesses fail a lot and fail fast.
Wow, yes. Yeah.
Because otherwise you fail can't take fast. It forward.
That's a really good shout, actually, because I think I know a discussion we were having last week on the radio show with Kerry was Kerry's business. Kerry had a multi-million pound turnover business and it was failing, and she clung on to it for too long, which meant that she ended up with way more debt than she should have had if she'd pulled out of the business earlier. So it's knowing when to quit, isn't it?
That is how we got into so much debt. That is my husband's consultancy that got us there. And he did the same.
Yeah, yeah. I remember reading your story. Yeah, is an incredible one. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And then that is why I wrote an article on how to know when to quit.
How to know when to
last
quit.
Last winter, I quit skiing because I noticed that I spent sleepless nights worrying about the skiing next day. And I thought...
Were you doing the black runs then, were you, Maria?
God, I'm here to relax, right? Forget it.
Yeah.
Sure. And I started thinking, when do you know when it's really time to quit? And you quit as a winner, not as a loser.
Yeah, like when Robbie Williams left Take That. I'm gonna use my education here from pop music.
Musical education.
Robbie did leave, and Jerry Halliwell, they both left the pop bands when they were at their height, weren't they?
So yeah, they did.
It's a good time to leave, because then you can go off by yourself and you're an immediate success.
You don't have to. You can change what you do. Basically, there are kind of signs.
Yeah, quit when you're ahead.
But I think that in every success, I mean, the successful people that I've known, they've mostly been visionaries as well as quite academic as well. And those two combinations I've found are really, because you've got to be able to see where you want to go and see it clearly and have a destination. Do you agree with me, Maria?
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody like, who's a visionary person? Somebody like Richard Branson.
He was a visionary.
He's always going to have known where his destiny was.
He's always
was.
Innovating. You can't stop innovating. You've got to keep innovating. You've got to look at it and think, well, I can change this, and this is on my way to where I want to be successful in my picture. It's like being an artist. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah. So when we're talking about the future then, where do you think... I mean, 5 years into the future is an awfully long time to sort of think about. But what do you think you'll be doing next and over the next few years?
Right, this one made me think a lot, and of course the alternative futures in front of me, and at the moment John, my husband, and I are at a crossroad because of something we're trialing.
Okay.
But so I will tell you what about the certainties and what, and then about my ideal position, which I'm working toward. So the constant things are that I am not going to be employed as such.
Yeah.
Right. And I suspect I will take this move by next summer.
Brilliant.
So the next thing is that we do intend to travel more and travel right.
Yeah.
Because what we do at the moment, you kind of, we do the American thing, Europe in 5 days or something.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would like to do is to go and live for some time in different countries and absorb the culture and learn the language and the rest.
Amazing.
I've been talking, I've been checking it out, and probably we will find ourselves in Costa Rica.
We talked about Costa Rica, haven't we, Maria? Because I wrote the article about Costa Rica.
Yes, rich coast, Costa Rica.
Basically, Costa Rica doesn't have an army.
It has
a living standard that is 48%
expensive, very expensive, though.
It is expensive,
Yes, but they have very good, they love rich white people.
That so counts me out there.
And then,
I'm not going there.
And then there is another thing. Basically, my husband is not too keen, so I'm maybe looking for a new husband.
Going by yourself?
No, not by. Well, that is a possibility of looking there.
Oh, God.
But
I like your plain talking, Maria. That's very good.
Yes, the reason I'm saying this officially on the radio is because I've already told my husband about that.
So he's been informed then, I guess, yeah?
Yes, he is informed. I have absolutely no objection for him to looking for another wife. After 25 years of marriage, that is the situation you reach. Right. So anyway, so joking aside, and very seriously, you see, guys, there are very few things in which I believe absolutely and with great passion. And then that is why I chase my passions with such determination. But one of them is, I believe in the right of equal access to opportunities in life.
Yeah,
okay. I agree.
And what our lovely governments are doing in this country is that they're killing exactly that.
Well, they are. The populist style is killing it totally. Totally.
Yeah. So basically they're hitting, if you think about it, they're hitting all spheres in society that give us equal access to opportunities, including health, etc.
Dictator, dictatorship.
I think it's my sacred duty to try to become as wealthy as possible so I can have a foundation. So I don't want to bathe in champagne, but I would like to set up a foundation which will help me to offset some of this political influences.
Wow. Yes.
And when you think about it, that is probably where the world is going, because think, Bill Gates set up the Gates and Melinda Foundation, and they're the only ones who do research in diseases that are the diseases of poor people.
Yes.
Because states don't do it any longer.
No.
So they research malaria. No government invests in research in malaria.
They're not interested.
The government, because it's not our problem. Right?
So
that is what I want to do in 5 years' time.
That's amazing.
And we'll see. I may achieve
That's a contribution,
it, I may not.
Really.
That's why I said that is my kind of big... You know, to become rich, you have to have a big dream.
Yeah.
And some people dream of, I don't know, having...
Owning a Lexus.
10-carat rings and this kind of stuff. I dream of having a foundation so I can actually show middle fingers.
Make a difference.
That's amazing.
Make a difference. That is great.
That is really, really
inspirational. I commend you on that decision, Maria. That is very commendable. Definitely.
We're both sat here nodding, like we talk about this every week, the state of this country, actually. With most of the people that come on, we end up having a bit of a political discussion about
what a mess
this country's in.
Well, and many more.
Gosh, yeah.
But interestingly, I actually think that really each of us should set such type of goals, because don't forget, we live in the conditions of neoliberalism, and the worst thing that neoliberalism did to our society is that it brought everything down to the individual. So you're poor, it's your fault.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I don't intend to slag our colleagues, personal finance bloggers, but yeah. a lot of it comes through their blogs as well.
I agree.
You're poor,
yeah.
that's because you overspent. No, you're poor because you work at minimum wage, and it doesn't matter how much you work, you can't make enough money to live
yeah.
on.
Yeah,
yeah, to did better you, your life.
Maria,
yeah.
did you read the article that Jack Munro wrote for The
yes.
Guardian last week?
Yes,
oh
yes.
my gosh, this article, I'll share it with you, Ray, or maybe we'll put it on the Facebook
yeah, yeah, yeah.
page.
I shared yeah. it and stuff.
Yeah.
But also, Jack Munro is right. I actually wrote something about this as well a long time ago. Rich people pretending to the poor people is such an affront.
Yeah.
That I don't even have words to talk about that.
Yeah.
Well, it's sad. It's sad.
Right.
It's
yeah.
sad.
Yeah.
And kind of millennial spoiled YouTube queenies.
Divas.
Going, yeah, I'll live all day on £1.
I know.
Yeah. Oh,
I
my
know.
Gosh. They live on a total cloud, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
You can see that I feel quite emotional about this as well.
No, but
yeah,
it's true. You're not wrong.
But also the thing is because of what you are achieving in your life, you are achieving this financial independence, which means that you will absolutely be able to set up this foundation and make a huge, huge difference with your, you know, being on this earth. So that's
yes, I
commendable.
Hope so. I hope so. But I would like now to tell you something else, Lynn,
okay.
which I told Tom Church.
Okay.
Millennials at the moment go, oh, yes, I'm 22 years old and I can't buy a house.
Yeah.
Sorry, when I was 22 years old, I couldn't buy a house either.
Yeah.
Right. So kind of going, baby boomers ruined our world.
Yeah.
If it was not for us baby boomers, they couldn't play computer games. They will have to work instead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right? So I'm kind of, I've had it with this millennial angst.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we as can't well. Afford our house because we have to pay £1,000 a month rent. Well, why not rent a house maybe out in, I don't know, Essex or...
Yeah. yeah.
No, just work smarter. Right.
Yeah.
Just get some education. Don't
yeah.
ask me whether Essex is a country in Europe.
Yeah, but they waste time thinking about things like that without getting on with them. That's the problem. And they
yeah.
just wait around for the endorsement of other people on Facebook and get my nails
yes.
done and da 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 da.
Exactly. They spend
yeah.
their time playing computer games.
Yeah.
We raise
yeah.
them by praising them. One of my colleagues, Professor Sinlund, tells me that she starts her first lecture by telling millennial students that they used to get praise when they put in their nappy.
Yeah.
But that's not an achievement, really.
Oh you my know? God, yeah.
Put in their diapers, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
You have to kind of do something.
Yeah, but that
else.
Also creates a lot of weakness in people, do you know what I mean? As well, the kids, the generation, they become weak as people. Socially
yeah.
Disabled. Completely,
because
oh, yes.
they're addicted to their phone.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So social skills are totally out the window, and the general social importance, like thank you and please, and they don't have these qualities, so they don't have the good start in life. So then they're sort of, not all of them, but a lot of them. I do notice when, and the ones that stand out far and few between are the ones that actually do that, and you do notice them a lot
yeah.
more.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Politeness goes a very, very long
I'm
way.
I'm telling you. I know you know that, Maria. I'm
and
sure you
humility.
Do.
They don't have humility.
They don't
yeah.
have humility.
Exactly.
No time for it. No patience.
Them too much.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
That was a really great discussion, Maria. I'm gonna end it there. But tell us where we can find you on social media whilst
and
we
where
were
you
talking
can find
about
us.
Social media. And I will also mention SG1 Radio. So give us a follow on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, Maria. But where do we find you?
Right. You can find me on The Money Principle. That's
the website.
Kind of the easy one.
Yeah.
On The Money Principle. And then, of course, I have a Facebook account.
Yeah.
Which I have a personal one at Maria Nedeva. But yeah. there is also The Money Principle account, which
yeah.
is at The Money Principle.
Yeah.
One word, and my Twitter account is at Money Principle because there were not enough things for that. And of course, I have Instagram account, which I don't remember what it is.
It's probably, I think your Instagram is The Money Principle as well. You put lots of,
yes, it is.
You
it
put
is
lots of selfies on it.
Yeah. yes, because I kind of like to keep it personal. Because
yeah.
if I keep it impersonal, I drift into political rants. And
yeah, do the political
basic universal income.
Do the political rants. I love it. Cool. And thank you so much, Maria. That
thank
was
you, Maria.
A really, really good interview. And I'm so excited about what you're going to be doing over the next
yeah.
few years. It's amazing. We will hook up offline.
You're an inspiration in today's climate.
You
darling.
Are an inspiration. And I'm going to play a song that I'd never even heard of, DeBarge.
DeBarge? El DeBarge?
No,
Maria,
I've
heard of El DeBarge, haven't you? Rhythm of the Night?
The song. I've heard of the song, I just haven't heard of DeBarge. Anyway,
okay,
I'm going to play it
okay.
and we'll enjoy it. Thank you ever so much, Maria, and I will speak to you very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very
bye
much
bye.
For having me.
Thank you,
bye
Maria.
Bye.
Bye.
A really, really good song.
Don't you
song.
Just love it? I just want to sing along to that one.
Well, I think we did for most of that.
A lot of the oldies know that song. I mean,
I do know that
they
song.
They still play it now a lot. It gets a lot of airplay.
I don't think they play that on Radio 1.
But you don't know who El DeBarge is, you said.
No, but I know the song.
Right,
you
okay.
You could chuck a load of songs at me and well, I know all the words. But
let
I wouldn't
me enlighten
know
you a little bit. The El DeBarge is from Puerto Rico and they're Puerto Rican Americans, actually. Yeah?
Really?
And it was a family group way back in 1982 or 3 they started.
Very good.
Very good looking. Kids
we get
well,
education as well as
music education as well.
My friend Mildred in Las Vegas, baby, is from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Mildred used to be a Vegas showgirl.
Oh, right. Okay.
She's probably the same age as you. Maybe okay. a bit younger, actually. And she's now the VIP concierge at the Aria Hotel in Vegas. So whenever
Aria.
I go over, yeah. Aria, whenever I go over, she looks after me and sorts okay. us out with like the best seats in the shows and the best tables at the restaurants.
And we
often go out for dinner with her, and because she's a VIP concierge, everybody's mm-hmm. like, Mildred, we worship the ground you walk on. Come have a meal for free.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's good for her.
Yeah. It's a good job. Yeah. She used to be a celebrity wedding planner in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, so when there was a big economic problem in America where all the houses went seriously into negative equity.
'90s?
Yeah, I know it happened here.
'90s, wasn't
it? But it was a lot worse in America.
I think it was the '90s.
Yeah, she had like a huge house, like $1 million house. And you know that houses in America are a lot cheaper than the UK anyway.
Yeah.
So she had this huge mansion and went into massive negative equity, and she had to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So she lost a shed load of money, mm-hmm. but she's got an interesting story. Maybe I'll get Mildred on.
Well, give us a
we
call.
We could Skype her in, couldn't we?
We could Skype her in. Yeah. That would be a good idea.
Yeah, Mildred's very interesting. So I wanted to just have a little chat about something that's quite scary and quite serious. But I'm going to be doing some work with a charity called Freedom from Abuse. And Marilyn, who is the founder of the charity, is going to come into the studio in a few weeks for an interview. But Freedom from Abuse is basically a charity set up to educate children and parents about online and offline grooming and abuse. I was sort of under the impression, so she came to my school and did a presentation, and the very first sentence she said was, "Hi, I'm Marilyn. I have 4 children. I was headmistress of a school," and she was deputy head, and her headmaster abused her 3 boys.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That'll be an interesting one.
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
And so her life passion is to save people's lives.
Sure.
Who are being abused. And I always thought online grooming was the thing I needed to be worried about. But it's not. It's offline grooming.
Mm.
It's when you let your kids who are like 12, 13, you know, go out on their own, as of course you have to do with teenagers.
Yeah.
It's the people who approach them in McDonald's.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's where these people hang out. So it will be interesting.
They're preyed upon. They're easily to prey upon.
And people like that, the groomers, they prey on vulnerable children.
Mm.
And you know what makes a child vulnerable? Oh my gosh, all sorts of stuff. Divorce.
They're impressionate, you know what I mean, at the time. They're looking for role models, do you know what I mean? They're at that time in their life. There's loads of things that kick into play when it comes to that, I think.
With boys in particular, I mean, I'm a girl, so I know how girls work, but I'm trying to bring up boys. It's really hard bringing up children, as you will know. You've brought up your own children.
Yes.
Boys need a male role model.
Yeah, it's the balance in a family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If that's missing, then you know, then the predators know that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They prey on kids that come from one parent families, and there's that imbalance, and you know, unconsciously the child is looking for something. Do you know what I mean? Coming from that sort of family, you know, disturbed family.
Yeah.
Background. Do you know what I mean?
And with I'm going to call them paedophiles or groomers, where do they go? Well, they go to work in schools, they become football coaches, they become scout leaders, they go to places where children are. So the big
which
thing,
which is the obvious,
but the big lesson I took from Marilyn was go with your guts. If you ever feel unsure about somebody, then don't let your kids go anywhere near them.
Mm-hmm.
And just listen
to
your gut.
Wise.
But I think that's actually a really good lesson for life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Listen to your gut.
Yeah.
business decisions, whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, so that's going to be coming up in a few weeks. And the only other thing I was going to say, oh, I've already mentioned Christmas, haven't I? I did it at the beginning.
Yes, you did.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing Christmas this week. So I'll be able to tell you all about my champagne exploits with Amazon and Aldi.
Okay.
Which I'm doing on Thursday.
Cool.
So that's going to be a very exciting week. Right, I'm going to play This Is Such a Good Song, Playing with Knives, Bizarre Inc. Take us back to the 1990s.
Yes, and we'll see you next week, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, have I got to be quiet now?
No.
I end the show.
She don't want to end the show.
Oh, I don't want to end the show. Oh, no, I better do because it's 1 hour.
It's 1 hour.
Okay.
Is.
Yeah, this will be the last song I play. So thank you
ever
so much.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow SG1 Radio on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And download the app on your phone.
Yes.
I sound like I'm reading from a script.
Well, you're not, are you? You've got it now.
Do you know what else I haven't done? I haven't done a shout out to any of the other DJs. I have to mention Jane.
Yes, okay.
Whose show goes out on a Friday morning, 9:30 till 10:30.
Yes, exactly. That's JB's 80s and 90s show.
JB's 80s and 90s. She always mentions me, so I'm always going to mention her.
We've got two new shows as well. Do you want me to mention them for you?
Go for it.
Right, we've got our Chicago connection, right? And it's Chicago house music, soulful house music. And that's on now on a Friday between 6 and 8.
Cool.
And that's starting with Hugo H between 6 and 7. And then his wife, who is the first lady, which is from 7 till 8.
Yeah? Very good. On a Friday night.
On a Friday night. And they're playing a lot of soulful house. Yeah. I mean, they've got a style which is... You've got to listen to it.
Yeah.
To, it's great. It sounds brilliant. And I think it's a good addition to our family on that evening.
Yeah.
Because it's all our house music as well.
Very good.
That evening. Fridays and Saturdays.
Is that on the house music channel?
They're also on the house music channel as well.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because we do have SG1 House as well, guys. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
You know.
Which I listened to on Friday night or Saturday night.
Really?
It was very cool.
You liked it, yeah?
Yeah. It's like just the type of music you want to listen to when you're going out.
When you're going out.
I was sat on the sofa.
Yeah. Some great DJs. And they're from all over the world, actually. They're actually doing live from all over the world. So they log into our system, play live, and they talk, some of them. I think you heard some of them talking probably.
Yeah,
which is a good thing, you know, with house music. You don't get it a lot, you know. There's a lot of house DJs out there, but these guys from all across the globe, they're really, really doing well for us, you
very
know?
Good
part of the SG1 House.
Did you have another new show you wanted to talk about?
No, that was it at the moment.
Okay,
that was it, you know. But
brilliant.
We've got a lot of good shows in SG1. You just got to go to our website, sg1radio.co.uk.
You'll see me on there.
Yes, you'll see Mrs. Mummy Penny. If you go to the profile, it's pretty easy, you know, to navigate around. It's on air, what's on air, and what's coming up next.
Right, you've got to be quiet now, you're going on.
I'm rambling.
I'm going to shut Ray up.
We're going.
I'm going to play a song. Enjoy.
Enjoy. Bye. Just dance and move your body.
Lynn James, Mrs. Mummy Penny Talks on SG1 Radio.